You know, we're still, many of us are, very concerned about the children who were torn away from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border, the long-term effects emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, that so many of these children will experience. We're concerned about all the trauma that the parents are experiencing and will continue to experience for some time to come as a result of having had their children torn away from them and sent away hundreds and hundreds of miles. The parents don't know where the children are. The children don't know where the parents are. The parents don't know how to get in touch with the children. Young children, 5, 6 years old, don't know how to get in touch with the parents. I really want us to care about this. So many of you do, and I really appreciate that. And with that thought in mind, I thought that we would revisit a conversation that I had some time ago with regards to the difficulty that some couples have when it comes to having children. Medical highs and legal highs is what the discussion was about. So let's take a listen. Hello and welcome again to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Are you ready to be empowered? Yeah, that's partly what the program is about. It is about empowerment, I'm telling you. And I specifically want to share some information with you today that might be helpful for couples who want a baby. And you're trying to have a baby who will come from your bodies, from your union. This is something that may offer some hope for you. Medical News Today talks about some sperm that is created from stem cells that may be helpful in dealing with male infertility. May be helpful. All right. Sometimes it's good hope, right? Functioning sperm that could one day be used to treat infertility in men have been created. Functioning sperm. Sperm that functions. It's been created in a lab by scientists in China, according to a report in Cell Stem Cell. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, define infertility as not being able to get pregnant after 1 year of unprotected sex. So the man hasn't been using any condoms. The lady has not been using any foam or anything else. Neither of them has been using anything that would prevent conception from taking place, pregnancy from occurring. And yet, after 1 year of unprotected sex, the lady's not able to become pregnant. Globally, up to 15%, 1/5, up to 15% of couples are unable to have children, with 1 in 3 cases being due to male infertility. So it sounds like 2 in 3 cases are due to female infertility. If infertility is the only thing that they're looking at when it comes to this whole issue of the 1 in 3 cases. In the U.S., about 6% of married women aged 15 to 44 years are unable to conceive within a year of trying. And around 12% of all American women aged 15 to 44 years have difficulty either becoming pregnant or carrying a pregnancy to term. And this is something that can be very, very traumatizing. You're talking about the possibility, and in some cases, it's not just a possibility, it has happened. The person was not able, the mother was not able to conceive and have a baby for whatever reason. And it can be so emotionally and mentally draining for the couple. It can be a drain on their relationship because it's stressful. And if they haven't developed, if that couple hasn't developed a positive way of dealing with that stress and relieving themselves of that stress, their stress can sometimes prompt them to agitate each other further, maybe even grow apart. And then you have the situation wherein maybe the lady became pregnant, but as they said, unable to carry the baby to term. And then, of course, deliver the baby. The baby dies. The baby never gets to the point where the baby can be delivered, birthed. Baby dies inside the mother, and that too can be very, very devastating for a lot of people, for mother and father. I know it's tempting to conclude that, well, as long as you haven't held the baby in your arms and neither of you has ever fed the baby, you never looked into the baby's eyes while you talk with the child, it should be easy to get over the death of your child. Not necessarily. It can be very, very trying, very devastating, very traumatizing for a couple, not just for the mother, but for the father as well, to have lost their child, even though they never held the child in their arms. A CDC study in 2002 found that male infertility caused 7.5% of all sexually experienced men under 45 years to seek help at some time, 14% of whom were diagnosed with sperm or semen problems. Male infertility often results because meiosis does not happen. And meiosis is a type of cell division that occurs in the precursor germ cells that are found in the testes. And without it, functional sperm cells cannot form. So you follow the process there. Meiosis is a cell division that occurs in the precursor germ cells that are in the testes. If the germ cells don't undergo that cell division, functional sperm cells cannot form. So here's the deal. Scientists have previously generated germ cells from stem cells, but the functionality of the germ cells wasn't proven, nor was there any evidence of all the key hallmarks of meiosis. There are certain things that they want to see that lets them know, yep, meiosis has definitely taken place. It's only been recently that a panel of reproductive biologists proposed what's considered gold standard criteria to prove that the major events of meiosis have taken place in engineered germ cells. Acceptable evidence includes proof that the DNA has correct nuclear content at specific meiotic stages, that there is a normal number of chromosomes, that the chromosomes are correctly organized, and that the germ cells can produce viable offspring. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we are amazingly created. All of that in place, just that one small part that has to be in place so that a child can be reproduced. And this just from the male side of it. DNA has to have correct nuclear content at specific meiotic stages. Come on now. How many of us humans can start from nothing, start from dirt, the earth, start from the earth, and from that starting point, create a human being that has just this part, DNA with correct nuclear content at specific meiotic stages with normal number of chromosomes, the chromosomes correctly organized, and germ cells that can produce viable offspring. Start with the earth and create that. Don't put together a whole lot of processes that can clone a human being, and this process is part of the mix. Start from earth and create a human being that has this all of this taking place in his body. Until now, scientists have had some difficulty completing all the essential steps of meiosis successfully, and this has remained a major obstacle to producing functional sperm and egg cells in vitro. Reproducing germ cell development in this way has therefore been a key goal for the reproductive biologists and for reproductive medicine. So now we have a team of researchers from Nanjing Medical University who've carried out a robust step-by-step process that not only coaxed embryonic stem cells from mice to turn into functional sperm-like cells, but also injected them into egg cells to produce fertile mouse offspring. The team started by exposing mouse embryonic stem cells, also known as ESCs, to a chemical cocktail that caused the ESCs to turn into primordial germ cells. After that, the researchers exposed the cells to testicular cells, as well as sex hormones such as testosterone, in order to recreate the natural tissue environment of the cells. Now, under these conditions, complete meiosis occurred, producing sperm-like cells with correct nuclear DNA and chromosomal content. Very interesting. And when they injected these into the mouse egg cells, embryos developed. The team transferred the embryos into female mice, where they progressed normally and produced healthy, fertile offspring. That is a key. I'm deliberately emphasizing fertile offspring, not just offspring, but produced healthy, fertile offspring, because these fertile offspring would be key to giving birth to the next generation. Co-senior author Dr. Shah says that their method fully complies with the gold standards recently proposed by a consensus panel of reproductive biologists, so they think it holds tremendous promise for treating male infertility. He also adds that if it's proven to be safe and effective in humans, their platform, and I love that, safe and effective. How often are we bothered by procedures, medicines, where the manufacturers of the medicine promise that this medicine can really help relieve the problem that we're having in this area of our lives. But we also want to assure you that there's a good chance that it will create a whole bunch of other problems in other areas of your life where you're not currently having problems. They're saying if proven to be safe and effective in humans, their platform could potentially generate fully functional sperm for artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization techniques. And because currently available treatments don't work for many couples, they're hoping that their approach could substantially improve success rates for male infertility. I was saying earlier that it can be really, really troubling when a couple really wants a baby and it's just not happening. I know that, again, you know, we can say so easily and so quickly, hey, look, don't sweat it. There are a whole lot of babies out there for adoption. There are a lot of children in foster care who you could care for. And all of that is real. All of that is significant. But it's important to also realize that very often when the couple wants their baby, they really do want their baby who comes from their bodies, who comes about as a result of the union, the sexual union that occurred between them. And they really want this. I mean, we're not just talking about wanting sexual intercourse. Think about how bad you wanted a house that you wanted. Think about how badly you wanted a car that you wanted. Think about how badly you wanted to attend school at a particular school. They're talking about a strong desire to hold a baby in their arms and feed a baby, talk with a baby, laugh with a baby who comes from their union. And that is a strong desire. And for some couples, unfortunately, they really don't get to a point where they deal appropriately with the disappointment of not having a baby come about as a result of their union. But for some couples, they do finally get to the point where they're okay with not having a baby come about as a result of their union, and they do go ahead and sometimes adopt. Not all, but some do adopt. Some do get involved in foster care. Some couples just remain a couple. And there's nothing that says a couple who is unable to have their own babies has to adopt or get involved with foster care or some other way take care of children. If they decide as a couple that they'll be okay with their family being just the two of them instead of the two of them and a child or the two of them and several children, that's okay too. What's so important is that together, they decide how they're going to respond to the fact that they probably won't ever be having children as a result of their sexual union. Based on the findings of this study, though, the researchers next plan to examine the molecular mechanisms that control meiosis and to test their approach in other animals, such as primates, as they gear up for the human studies. But for the technique to become a clinical reality, a number of potential risks and ethical concerns about the use of embryonic cells are going to have to be addressed. I'll be right back.